There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you.
I couldn't because I want to do something. I'm going to give you a little test here.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Okay, you tell me who this is. Listen to this and then you tell me who it is.
Okay.
I get to play really two different characters because he's being seen from two viewpoints.
I think it's McNulty.
Yeah, no. I didn't know McNulty was British.
I just learned that the other day.
That bastard.
Why does that make him a bastard?
Because he's like the all-American cop tough guy in the Wire.
Yeah, I just heard that just like the other day, and I was like, what?
All right, welcome to West Coast Project. My name is Mike. You're texting me, Michelle. You don't have to text me anymore. That was you dinging.
Okay.
I'm here with my friend Michelle. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
All right, hang on one more second.
Okay.
Tell me who this is.
Oh, no. I'm not good at this.
From her perspective, she's going through grief, so everything is duller, and she seems isolated from the world. In his version, she seems a free spirit, and speechy, and sexy, and alluring for that reason.
I think it's Allison in it.
Yeah, that's Ruth Wilson. We got two Brits here, man, hanging out in Montauk trying to be the all-American boy and girl.
Do an excellent job.
I'm jaded, man.
Well, you may be jaded, but they fooled you.
The whole damn popular television shows are all Brits. I mean, Game of Thrones, you can tell they're like Europeans, but come on, man. Charlie Hunnam and Sons of Anarchy is British. Frickin' Walking Dead. What happened to the Americans? I wonder if the Americans are even American.
What?
The show The Americans. I wonder if
Well, I don't know. They're not even really supposed to be Americans.
Yeah, good point.
So maybe they're not. But I don't know. It messes me up a whole lot more that it was McNulty that's not American than it does that it's Noah that's not American. I don't know why, but McNulty just seems like, you know, uber... kind of, you know, rough street cop.
Yeah, so. But he's not really Jimmy McNulty. He's Dominic West. I guess when you hear that, that screams European.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, we're here for episode 6 of The Affair, in case you haven't guessed by now. Now, Michelle, how did you grade this episode?
I thought it was great. I thought it was better than 5. And, of course, certainly better than 3 or 4, which you and I both was kind of, you know, grating on us a little bit, I think. I thought 1 was really good, and I thought 2 was better. And this one was like episode 2 to me. It was that good. I think we're building. It feels like we're building to something. Did you like it?
Yeah, I'd give this one like a solid A.
Yeah, it's really good. I agree. This one was just kind of blew me away. I loved all the problems. I loved the conflict that it brought up and the conflict that it brought up in me, which, of course, is what you and I talk about sometimes and why we really like these kind of shows. I'm desperately hoping that they keep this show on.
All right, well, let's get into it. Part 1 is Noah again, and Noah's scoping out a club. Now, Michelle, I hate to torpedo your Noah truth theory right off the bat, but he's at the end. He is lying about... He is a liar.
He is a liar. Yes, he is. Yeah. He is at the end. I mean, you can see it, like half of it in one of the scenes.
Well, he was lying at the end of the last episode where you're giving him all that credit for telling the truth.
Absolutely. But he was telling the truth in part of it. I don't know. I think they're messing with us now. I thought maybe they were messing with one another or whatever. I'm starting to think maybe they were messing with us because this is crazy.
Well, he's at the end, the kind of cool club with the end on the surfboard. And we meet Uncle Max, I guess his buddy from somewhere in his past.
Yeah, from college, I think, because he knew Helen.
So, Michelle, what do you think Max's role in is all this? What is he, a party boy? Is he more? Or what? What's his role?
No, I don't think he's a party boy. Do you? Did you think that? I don't know if he just has some kind of little auxiliary role in this, but I mean, he had a lot of important scenes in this. He had a lot of important statements to make that really kind of set the tone for a couple different things, I thought.
He's definitely a party boy. I was meaning, like, is he just a party boy? Is he just, like, there for to bounce other people off of him and get other people's, more important people's input?
I think so. I mean, I haven't seen anything more than that from him, but I don't know, though. I don't know, because the scene with him and Helen was, I don't know, not sure yet. Do you think he is?
Yeah, well, for right now, I think he's a, of a plot device for other people.
Okay.
But we find out right away that the cab that we see, the cab sign at the train station and the cab pulling up to the train station and all of that, well, the cab is a cocaine deal that Max is partying with cocaine, so he buys some coke from the cab dealer or the cab driver, and he's reckless. He's snorting it up in the car, and he's making everybody kind of upset. So that
is that one of Noah's brothers driving the cab?
I don't think so.
Okay, I thought it was.
Maybe it was. I didn't recognize him.
I'm not sure who, but for some reason I keep thinking it was, and I was going to ask you, but I just couldn't. I don't know.
So we get into the club. Max is drinking mojitos, and McNulty, the British bastard, is drinking beer still. Or beer, if we go to the British McNulty. Max congratulates Noah on Helen and how he scored Helen as a wife and connected up with her. And we learn pretty quickly he's separated from Val. So he's kind of a broken dude. He's kind of on a downward spiral.
Yeah, he wants to say it's, and he does actually say that it's one of the best things that ever happened to him other than his children. But we find out that he doesn't feel that way.
So Allison slinks up at the bar as a stranger to both of them, portraying it that way anyway. Michelle, did you know right away what she was up to, or did this twist your timing up?
No, I knew right away. This was a game. I didn't think of it any differently. This was something that she and Noah had set up. It's like a little game that they played, a little danger to add to it, I think. Like they don't have enough.
Yeah, I fell for it. I was like, is this some sort of a time warp here where Noah didn't meet her yet? But it obviously does turn out to be a little role play thing that they're doing. Now, Michelle from Tennessee, is Max good enough to be of interest to a girl like Allison, where she kind of acted like he was interesting to her as a single girl to a single guy?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Max at this point, but there's no reason to discount him at all that I could see.
All right, just getting a girl take on that. So McNulty shuffles Max off to continue his night with Allison and pretty awkwardly shuffles him off into that cab.
Yeah, it was really awkward. He really almost like grabbed him and stuffed him into the cab when he didn't. And also Max was wanting to go back and find Allison. And McNulty was like pushing him away and everything. No, man, she's gone. She's long gone. And then he finally gets him in there. He acts like he's hailing a cab. And then he bounds back up those steps toward Allison.
Well, he's got to get back to Earth, Wind, and Fire and dance and hit the room.
Yes, he does.
So we find out there's only 1 week left in McNulty's summer. They're coming. I don't know how much of a time jump that was, but.
Well, remember last time it was a month. Because when Whitney got into the trouble and stuff, she said, you really want to spend another month here? Helen did to Noah. So some time's passed.
So, yeah, 3 weeks later, 2.5, 3 weeks.
Right.
So he makes plans to regroup for 2 weeks to a month into the future, for 2 weeks to a month where he can finish his book at some cabin and hook it back up with Allison and make her his mistress. Or she says, I would be your mistress.
Yeah, and he didn't like that word.
Why do you think he doesn't like that word?
Mistress?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a very flattering word. Do you?
I don't think it's a net negative of a word.
It's pretty negative. pretty negative in our society, I think. I mean, I understand why he would like it, but I mean, I think they're kind of playing back and forth. They're in the shower having this conversation, and he's trying to find some way to extend this connection that he has with her. He's made a comment about he's afraid she's just going to be a dream, a really good dream, and he's so happy. It shows them dancing, and they're just, they're like children. They're so happy around each other and everything. And so he's just trying to find a way to extend this. And they're standing in the shower, at least in his version, having this conversation. And he's trying to find a way to bring a continuation to what's going on with them. So, you know, to call her his mistress, I don't know. It just sounds a little nasty.
Yeah, we start to see some nastiness here. Noah asks her if you and he are still fucking. So a little jealousy of Allison and Cole. Right?
That was. And then he gets a little ugly, too, because she's taking a shower and she's changing her clothes. And he, you know, he's like, well, that's what the shower was for. You really brought other clothes. But the night before, she's in like this hot red dress. How's she going to be riding, you know, her bike back in the dress like that? I mean, you wouldn't do that. Of course she'd bring a change of clothes. But anyway, he's offended by it. And she says, well, maybe he should change. And he says, you know, why? So I can go home and have sex with my wife.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just kind of biting her, it seems like.
Well, girls are just better planners than dudes, too. He's like, well, huh? I'm just going back in these clothes like a dope. But, yeah, I think you're right. He is offended that she's switching roles now to go back and be the wife. And he doesn't like that.
Right.
So Allison leaves, and Noah sees her turn like kind of the wrong way on her bike and follows her. Now, for Noah, this is Noah, of course, I'm calling him McNulty, but he is not a good follower. He doesn't put a good tail on her at all, Michelle.
No, and she's not a good. I don't know. Surely she would have noticed that. He's like 20 feet behind her on that bicycle.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
The real McNulty would have been ashamed of that technique.
And let me just point out something here while we're talking about this. When Cole knew she was lying about why she was up that morning when he caught her leaving, when she was supposed to be sleeping, and Cole, her husband, didn't follow her, but McNulty, or Noah, I'm going to call him McNulty now, he saw her go in the opposite direction. And so he decides to follow her. I thought that was an interesting contrast.
Maybe Cole's more confident and secure than McNulty is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe. But I just thought it was a good... It says something. I'm not sure what yet. But yeah.
So Allison does the whole boat, cooler, bike, train station, pickup, delivery, drop-off routine. And Noah sees it all.
Mm-hmm.
More bad driving. Noah almost T-bones a cab. I guess it's like the same cab he drug.
It's the exact same cab, cab 21. And so he recognized, he sees her drop something off in there. He sees the same cab driver. It was still cab 21. And he takes note of that this guy was the guy doing selling drugs from his cab going in there, the place. I mean, it just aligned perfectly for him to have caught this.
Yeah, so it looks like we were right. It's a smuggling operation that's bringing.
Oh, you were right. I didn't get that. I didn't even suspect it. You were right.
Well, Noah makes it home, and Helen starts to ask about Max, and Noah's all distracted and tells her Max is a disaster and crashes. He sleeps and crashes all hungover, and then Helen wakes him up later to alert him that Martin is missing.
Right.
And then you find out he's at the ranch sleeping. Now, why, Michelle? Why is this kid at the ranch sleeping in the stable?
I don't have any idea. I didn't get that. And it didn't make sense to me as the episode went on. Did it you?
No. I never got it. Even when they kind of illustrated it more after they showed him being there and having breakfast. And why? Why is that kid? Well, I didn't get it.
No. I mean, I think that he was trying to make a point that his parents didn't care about him or something, but that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, that didn't make any sense to me. It was just like an excuse to wake Noah up is all I could see. I don't know.
So Noah does a little detective work, and he asks Whitney about buying cocaine. What would she do? Because under the guise of like, I need this for my story, what would you do if you needed cocaine on this island or on this vacation spot? And she tells him about her South American drug lord boyfriend that she's having sex with. No, no, wait. I made
except
that up.
She doesn't. Yeah.
I made that up in my head for a second. No, he's. I was just checking to see if you were listening. Whitney just shuts him down. She's laughing at him like this is laughable, Dad.
Yeah, I mean, her words were, I have not and never will have cause to answer that question. And that was a perfect answer, but what an inappropriate thing to ask your 16-year-old. What kind of person would do that?
I don't know. As if he really was a writer, he could say, hey, you know what? If we know it's a more evil question because of his intention.
Right.
But if he really was a writer, he might say, hey, I need to know what a teenager's take is on this.
Yeah, but he didn't even say that. He didn't say, where might a teen go or anything like that. And I think if you say that kind of thing to your kid, you're almost kind of going, it's okay if you know this. I expect you to know this kind of stuff. And this is the behavior that I'm expecting out of you at this point. I didn't like that.
I'm not
going
to pick on it that much. Okay. But he doesn't get much out of her. So at lunch... No, actually, he goes and tries to write a little bit. Helen comes in. His wife, Helen, comes in, complains about zero attention and zero sex, Michelle from Tennessee.
Yes, she does.
By the way, Noah types like I do. He peck types one at a time.
Do you one-finger type, really?
I thought I just said that.
Do you really, though?
Yeah. I don't know how to type.
I thought writers knew how to type. I even noticed that and made a note of it because I thought that doesn't even seem realistic to me. I would think a writer would know how to type. It takes no time to take a keyboarding class and learn that.
Well, don't be surprised.
Wow. Okay.
Helen suggests therapy for them. She's feeling old and unattractive.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we saw them at the beginning, and they were all over each other. Noah was really into her. I mean, you know, you made a comment that he was, you know, on her a couple times a day. And we found out when he was talking to Max just a little bit ago, they've been together for 25 years. So this is an ongoing thing. We're to assume that he has spent this kind of time and affection toward Helen, and now he's not, which also... would make the question he asked Allison earlier about, is she still having sex with her husband? Because he's not now. We kind of see. And Helen is not happy about it. She is, I mean, she's feeling like, what happened to me that you don't want me anymore, like any woman would.
Right. They kind of kid around. He gets her to giggle a little bit. She sits on his lap, and they kind of brings her out of it, but she goes right back into it. Like, she pushes that no sex point.
Well, yeah, she was crying. Starts crying. I mean, she's that hurt over her husband. And, I mean, she's not a crier, but she's that hurt over her husband not wanting this physical attention with her. And you can tell it's something very out of the ordinary for them. So.
Yeah, she pushed the point to a point where I found it unappealing. Like, she's like, how about tonight? I'll make an appointment. We'll get free. It's like it was like a clinical appointment.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I think she was just, I don't know, Noah, but I agree with you.
What?
I agree with you. It was a terrible scene. I hated that whole scene. I made a note of it that it bothered me. It bothered me how he was with her, and it bothered me how she was, and the whole thing about it, I didn't like at all.
Well, Noah tells all with his last look of the scene. He's just exasperated, like, oh, fuck, what did I get myself into? He just looks just defeated.
Yeah.
So the next scene is they're at the lunch. Michelle, the lunch I thought he had just begged out of. What's he doing at lunch if he's not going to go to lunch with them?
No, I didn't get that because he said he had to work and he couldn't go. And then she said, well, this was after she said they were going to the lobster roll. And I don't know. He ends up there with them. I guess he decided he better start maybe paying a little bit more attention to his wife because it was affecting her. I don't know.
Yeah, so Noah and the kids are eating lunch outside and Max shows up. Max rolls up. He's ready to keep going, man. The party does not stop with that guy.
Yeah, he's wanting, Bloody Marys for everyone right then, you know.
And Michelle, our girl, the waitress, Jane, is there, Nicolette Robinson.
Yeah.
We're going to have an interview with Jane in a couple weeks.
I can't tell you how excited I am.
So she is a hottie. She's one of the hottest girls in the show. The only girl that comes close to her, hot-wise, is Mary-Kate, at least to me. But I think Jane is the babe of the show.
Well, she's very, very pretty. I don't know if I, you know, would call her babe or whatever, but, you know. But I certainly see why you would, and I really like her.
So Max rolls in. Allison sees them from kind of across the room, and Max sees her, and trouble starts to ensue here a little bit. This recognition isn't going to turn out. It's dangerous, right?
Well, the whole thing is just uncomfortable. First of all, Max busts Noah because Helen says something about him getting home at 5 o'clock in the morning. And Max, like the good friend that he is to Noah, says, "Oh man, what, 5? You kept partying without me?"
Yeah, kind of different from what he told Helen. So I got ominous here for you, more ominous stuff, Michelle. Whitney chimes in with Allison. They're talking about Allison still. Whitney chimes in, maybe they have an open relationship because they know that Whitney's married, but she's out at a club. She says, well, maybe they have an open relationship. What? I made a connection here with Whitney's newly found au pair sex connection with Mary-Kate and her gangster husband, that maybe they have an open relationship and she's hearing about it.
That's interesting.
I did not connect that. We heard this is the second au pair sex with Whitney connection that we're starting to hint about.
You might have a point.
If you invite the au pair into a sex relationship, you make it clear up front you have an open relationship, right? Threesome?
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. There's definitely something open about it, absolutely.
And then we learn that Grandma was cheating on Grandpa.
Whitney. I know, and she said Grandma and Grandpa had an open relationship in front of the little kids, you know, and Helen's like, hush, oh my gosh, you know. I can't believe Grandma's talking about that with a 16-year-old.
So Grandma being mad at the witch lady isn't so genuine after all. She's been doing the same thing to Grandpa.
Well, this was back when he was in the war, is what Whitney was saying, way back, like we're assuming when they were first together, that he kind of did his thing and she did her thing. I don't think that's quite the same thing as, you know.
I say bullshit.
Fair play.
They're both doing the same thing to each other.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's fair.
Well, Grandma and Whitney are bonded, baby. They're talking about everything.
They do.
So little Pip and Stacy, the little cute girl, has to go to the bathroom. So Daddy McNulty takes her. And geez, Michelle, that kid is cute, that little Stacy.
She is precious.
Her name is Leia Catlett, a real actress. I don't know if she's a twin or what, but she is a little cutie. McNulty goes to take her to the bathroom, and he goes into the boys' room while she goes into the girls' room, and Allison jumps into the boys' room with him.
Yeah.
This was
right
a little
there with his wife and family there, and his little kid in the other room.
This was a little dangerous too, because we didn't know if what if Whitney came over to go to the bathroom and saw that, but he escapes. He gets back to the table, and Max is crying with Helen. Max is a disaster, actually.
He is a disaster.
He's creative, though. He spins a tale about Noah and Helen being from another planet where everybody loves each other and the kids love it, and Whitney gives it the eye roll.
Yeah, I thought it was just completely weird, his saying that. I mean, it's just like he's almost threatening, you know? He says, Can I tell them about you guys? Talking about his parents. I mean, the parents. They're like, okay.
They were going to let him.
I have no idea what he's going to say. I don't know. That was weird to me. And then he's crying and everything. He is. He's a disaster.
The kids love it, though. It's easy to see why they think of him as a crazy clown uncle type guy.
Oh, yeah.
So checking out of the restaurant, they split up and they take Max. Max is pretty lit by now. He's had a couple Bloody Marys. I like how the one little kid goes, I want to drink blood. Like he didn't. He wanted to try the dangerous sounding drink. But they take Max with him. So Noah's left behind, and Noah is left with Oscar to talk at the bar in the lobster roll.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of nice. I mean, you know, I thought it was kind of nice the way Oscar accepted Noah's apology. Noah just said, you know, you caught him at a bad time the other day, and I'm really sorry for the way that went down and everything. And then he said, when the rest of them left, which was another kind of weird thing, Max and the family going off, and then Noah staying back. I don't know. I thought that was a little odd. But anyway, it was nice of Oscar to agree to then sit down and go over some of the town's personal stuff with Noah for his book.
Yeah, Noah and Oscar are pals again. I'm flip-flop back on Oscar. I think he is kind of a dope. He's kind of a foil for other people.
I don't know. I don't agree.
By the way, Michelle, Oscar has the bitch please face. He's bitch please facing a little bit later on here.
Okay, you'll have to tell me.
Nobody knows what that means, but it's like, bitch, please. He's like, you know, he's mad at whatever's going on. But with Noah's newly found freedom, why does he want to waste it sitting in there talking to Oscar? Is he just waiting for Allison to get off work?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I took it, is that he could still hang around where Allison was, but, you know, kind of, I don't know, it'd give him an excuse.
So Oscar relates his whole history with Allison, kind of a little TMI there, or a lot of TMI.
Yeah.
And he asks about the book, and Noah twists the story of the book enough to make it safe from Oscar really knowing what he's doing. But he calls it a romance crime story, and what did he call? He called himself something other than a writer.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch that.
Like, if the book's about a writer and a waitress, so Oscar would have known right away what that meant. But he made him made himself a teacher. He changed the characters enough so that he wasn't identifiable as being him and Allison. So Scotty comes in and demands money from Oscar. This is all playing into what we had as our earlier theories, too. Scotty's mad at Oscar because he's got drugs or something. He owes him money.
Right.
Takes the money right out of the cash register. They argue in the outside, slug it out, and this makes things more clear to Noah. And Oscar comes in and picks up the phone and reports it. Now, did he really report it, Michelle, or not?
I thought he did. I completely bought it. I'm thinking now, no. He knew that nobody was going to hear that. He actually ran Jane out of the area. So there was nobody there to hear this except Noah. And Noah heard it and then went to Allison with it. And that was his, he knew they were connected, and that was his kind of way to prove it to himself. I thought he was actually mad at Scotty and calling the police on the operation. But I believe now that he was mad at Scotty. He was setting Noah up.
But Allison, why does he even care that much
about? I don't know. But he does, man. He cares. I don't know why.
All right. I don't know if we can trust it. My observation at this point in the show is I don't know if we can trust these clues they're giving us, because they're not. We don't know if they're telling the truth or not.
No.
If you follow like that last episode where Noah says something, you're like, aha, that means that this is that way. But then he's just lying. It's hard to trust this clue structure that they're building.
I know. I completely agree. And there was somebody on Reddit saying that they think Noah and Allison both in their telling the detective are setting Oscar up. But I don't know. And that's actually a brilliant theory. And I can, you know, I can't help but watch it now with that idea in mind. But I don't know. Because Oscar is the only constant. Noah's a different character. Allison's a different character. Oscar is a... he's disgusting in both of their stories.
Yeah, but even you said they're making it too obvious that Oscar's going to be guilty of something, that he's another foil.
It really would be way too obvious, but I don't know.
So Oscar says it all out to Noah out loud, so everybody's kind of on the same page now. The Lockharts are dealers, their grandpa was a bootlegger, blah-bitty-blah, stuff we all
do. Put it in your book, use their names, yeah.
Right. Noah's driving around the island again, and he sees the bike at the ranch, and he pulls in to confront Allison now and just tells her of Oscar's plan, which is like you said, it kind of, he's tipped his hand and he does what he said. He does tell her that Oscar made this call. And Allison, for me now, Michelle, gets five times uglier knowing that this, that we know she's a drug dealer covering up her shit. She's not nearly as attractive as the innocent waitress.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, maybe in this story, I can see that. When we hear Allison's side, I think it's different. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't get that.
Well, Noah goes home and grabs Helen, and all of a sudden she's the apple of his eye. And Michelle, yep. What are your thoughts? Can he switch gears just back into the marriage like that?
I think he's desperate. I think he desperately goes after Helen because he realizes, assuming this is all true, of course, he realizes that he almost gave up this woman, which, by the way, you were talking about pretty women in this thing. I think this show is filled with some of the most interesting looking women, which I find beautiful beyond beauty. And I think Helen is so attractive. And I think he looks at her and her love for him for 25 years and the fact that she's given him four children and the fact that she has just this morning talked about how much she misses him sexually and everything. And he just feels like the biggest dope in the world. And so he desperately grabs onto her, realizing what he almost threw away.
Yeah, I think Allison's probably the third or fourth prettiest woman on the show. You know, I hope I'm not shooting my foot when Ruth Wilson wants to do our podcast. Sorry, Ruth, you're still hot. But, yeah, Helen's prettier than Allison.
I think they're all pretty. They're very unique. Allison, to me, I don't know how they do this with her, but she either looks really good or, you know, really more plain. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl, but I don't know how they're doing this with her. You can look at her in one light, and she's just like, wow. And then you look at her again, and she's like, oh, okay. So, I don't know.
So
I couldn't compare them.
That closes out part one. Part two is Allison. Allison wakes up really early in the morning and with Noah and goes in to take a shower. And he comes in and starts to pee while she's in the shower, and she gives him the bitch please look.
She like, does.
Too early.
Yeah, too soon.
She's leaving for work at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Same routine. She takes the bike to the dock, but this time there's no Will on the boat. It's a new guy. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if we're supposed to know yet.
No, we're not. But let me tell you, let me ask a question. I mean, I'm not really up on my drug dealer, you know, protocol or whatever, but if you were somebody picking up drugs from somebody and somebody else showed up to give you the drugs. I mean, that could be the DEA or anybody, right? I mean, would you just take that package from anybody?
Well, you're already there.
I don't care. I mean, I don't know, but I would have thought she would have said, who are you? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think playing it cool is the smart move, but what she doesn't do is alert somebody right away.
Yeah, she did. She told Caleb.
She didn't, well, right away, though, like the minute she's off the dock.
Well, as soon as she got to the taxi place, which we're assuming is just right there.
I guess. It would have flipped a red flag for me, but
yeah.
I think if you say, whoa, 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 who are you? I'm not taking that cooler. That makes you look way more guilty than just kind of going along with it.
Well, I guess, but, I mean, you know, you're either picking up drugs or you're not picking up drugs.
Well,
I mean, one way
say,
you may look funny, and the other way you are guilty.
No, you could just say, my job was to pick up fish. I don't know what's going on here. But if she looks guilty, if she looks like, well, I'm not taking that fish from you, buddy, that looks guilty.
Okay.
I don't know, but anyway, it's a different guy. She does the routine, drops the goods off at the train station. There's a drunk girl on the couch with Caleb. Is it Caleb, the dude?
Caleb, uh-huh.
Then we see the back room set up for the fish treasure. So that there's a room, there's the big open room with the office, then there's a middle room, and then there's a back room. It's like a closet.
Yeah. It's not even a, it's like a secret room. Did you notice how they opened the door?
Well,
they used like the handle.
The first room is like a closet. It's got a shovel. Right. Yeah, that was the secret shovel handle.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty elaborate that they had back there. The secret room with a secret door. And then, you know, they got, what, a refrigerator or a, you know, a safe and a scale and a, I don't know.
We find out it is cocaine. It's cocaine in among fish. So we thought the cooler looked heavy, and it didn't look that different. That's why I thought they'd swap something, because it wasn't just an empty cooler.
Okay.
But it's fish with a block of cocaine in with the fish. So they take out the cocaine at that stage of the operation. And so Ellie goes back to the horse ranch, and they see the new pony. The pony's Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
And we see Martin sleeping in the stall, and still wonder why. I don't know that I got the answer or will have the answer. But they make him breakfast. They find out, they see him, like they're surprised he's there too, and they make him breakfast. Now, Michelle, he gets the most pitiful breakfast I've ever seen. God damn. They give him two little spoonfuls of eggs and nothing fucking else. No toast, no bacon. Just like, that's not enough breakfast.
Scrambled eggs and some juice.
Give
yeah.
me nothing or give me the whole grand slam, baby.
Well, I mean, they're all at the house and there's other food on the table, but all he gets is a couple little spoonfuls. I mean, she puts one spoonful. It's a teenage boy. She puts one spoonful of egg on his plate and she goes, "You want more?" And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, big plate with like one spoonful of eggs, and then he gets two spoonfuls, a big deal. Those are like two bitefuls.
Yeah, it was maybe one egg, one and a half eggs, and that was his breakfast. But I mean, still, they could have like not fed him, but I don't know. I thought that was funny. I agree.
So later on, Cole shows daddy skills with Martin, and Allison does not like this. I don't think Allison likes having somebody be the replacement for the dead Gabriel kid.
Oh, I think it just made her sad. I don't know. I didn't take it as, you know, anything else. But I did want to point out in this that when that Allison answers the phone, and when Helen called in her story, she actually was the one that answered the phone at the ranch when they're calling around. In Noah's story, he was the one on the phone. So yeah. That was weird. And Allison's also mad because she says that Helen didn't even ask to speak to her son. And she's acting like Helen's a bad mom. And I'm wondering if that's supposed to be some kind of... And even Cherry takes up for her. And I'm wondering if that's takes up for Helen, I mean. I'm wondering if that's some kind of rationalization thing for Allison. If she's rationalizing her relationship with Noah because Helen's not a good mom or a good person or something.
My take is that Allison had a chance to have a kid and she lost the kid. So she's my take on that is she's thinking, wow, if I had a kid, I would know where he is every second. I wouldn't be missing him overnight or in the morning or whatever. And then Cherry kind of says, well, she has three kids or four kids, so give her a break.
Yeah. And then, yeah, but then Allison also says, well, she's got no problems. She's rich.
Yeah.
I mean, she's getting, we're seeing signs of bitter in her, and this is her own story.
She's so uglier. She's a drug dealer now. She's not the happy bucolic bike riding little girl waitress. She's not as appealing. So Allison coming out finds a note from Noah written in frickin' giant Sharpie in her bike basket.
Yeah, this is when she was coming out of work, right? Because I think they did a little time blip here. Because, see, all this thing has happened where Noah has went to lunch with his wife and all
gone.
That. Has gone to lunch with his wife and Max and everything. And I think this was when she got out of work, correct?
Yeah.
Because it's outside the lobster roll.
It's in her bike basket.
Yeah.
For
but
anyone
I mean,
walking by 10 feet away can read that. I know they did it so that we could read it as audience and TV viewers, but still.
Oh, I know. Or the breeze could have blown it out of there or anything. That was ridiculous. I agree.
So he's surprised. She goes, and they're meeting at the girl's cabin. He surprises her and tells her that he followed her and puts all the cards on the table. And Allison starts to say she doesn't care about herself. She doesn't care what happens. And We learn the whole math of the ranch, right? The thing doesn't sustain itself.
Right.
He tells, I get my notes a little crossed up here, but he tells her about the Oscar call here. It's like a friendly warning, and it's different than the other version.
He didn't even tell her. He did tell her, but we didn't hear what he said. He is just, I didn't get that whole scene with him. I don't know if we were supposed to feel like he was trying to work something out in his mind as it was going on, but he's like, I trusted you. Okay, why? I mean, she never said she wouldn't do anything. That was weird, kind of. And, I mean, he what? Trusted her to be somebody else he could save. And so when she didn't turn out to be that person, he's then disappointed. He trusted her to be who he thought she was. And when she wasn't that person, then he's disappointed. I don't know. That whole thing just really rubbed me the wrong way, that I trusted you. Because even though nobody wants anybody to be a drug dealer, she didn't owe him anything. It didn't have anything to do with him. And I just, it was very disconcerting to me.
Well, she's having sex with him. She knows about the drug operation, and she knows his son is working at the ranch. That is a little dicey.
They're not doing anything at the ranch. If his son were working at the taxi service, okay. But the ranch has nothing to do with it. The ranch
So it's okay if you're working at Al Capone's ranch while he's shooting
up
Chicago?
It's absolutely not okay. But what's Allison going to do? She's going to go up to somebody and go, oh, you don't want your kid here. We deal drugs.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, or just trust me. Keep him out of here. It's not a cool place to work. Or make up something like, you know, my husband's a dick, he'll be mean to him or something. Just keep him out of that environment.
Well, honestly, I didn't think about that, but this is not even what he's talking about. I think that's just an excuse. He's just mad that she's not who he thought she was.
Yeah, everybody's working everybody here.
Yeah.
So now, did Allison lie about not knowing about this call to the brothers? She says she didn't know about, or she said she heard the call, right?
She says she heard the call. She overheard Oscar. She said she was in the back, and because what's she going to say? Noah told her?
Right.
She can't say that. So she actually says she heard it herself.
So she lies about that to her own brother, not her brothers, but her husband's brothers.
Right.
And they clean up. They start to move the evidence and get it out of there because they think trouble's coming. Cops are coming. So now Oscar shows up on the scene. Oh man, we need a scoreboard for all this. We need like a plot chart and a bunch of yarn threads connecting everybody. We need what's his name's board? Who is McConaughey in True Detective? He had the board.
He did. You're right. Yep.
Oscar shows up and reveals his fake out. So I guess we knew it was. Now it's a fake out. And it makes sense that it's a fake out because a real call wouldn't have made any sense. Like, you can't call the police and say there's some suspicious goings on over there. Go check it out. They don't have time to do that, right? You got to say I saw a guy hand a $10 bill over for a little vial of coke. He didn't say that. He said it looks suspicious over there. He just makes it general.
Yeah.
But we find out it's a fake out, and Oscar says to Allison, he thought she was in mourning, and he rolls in on her to put the moves back on her.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, if this is not just a whole thing to set Oscar up, if that's not what we're going toward here, which I have no idea, then Oscar is really invested. Is Oscar in love with her? And so he's acting out like this? I mean, this was awful. I mean, Caleb was like pushing him and Allison's pushing Caleb out the door, and
yeah, that's another thing. 105-pound Allison's not going to push two guys like that around. She pushes Caleb like, right, you're out of here, throws him out the door. He can't, and then she's holding off Oscar. It's just crazy.
That was disturbing, though. Oscar like makes a move on her,
but she boots him out, and we have a Lockhart family meeting. They're going to move everything away. They're going to eliminate the blackmailer, although they're not quite sure what the blackmailer is or who or how, but they're going to move everything and bury it in a remote corner of the ranch.
Well, they're also saying if all they have to, I didn't hear the remove the blackmailer, but I did hear them say that, if that's all Oscar wants is the petition, for his bowling alley to go through, then just give it to him. And then, you know, they're arguing back and forth that then what's he going to ask for next?
Well, that's what
and
I'm saying. They're going to eliminate the smart place to eliminate the blackmailer, not give him a little bit of what he wants, because there's no blackmail's a dangerous, slippery game. There's no going back. Like, okay, we're good now, right? Because it's always going to slip into something more.
Right.
So I think they're hinting or talking, or maybe I heard a comment, but one of the options is let's just get rid of him, not give him what he wants, but just get rid of him.
Okay, I didn't hear that one, but yeah.
Well, it should have been. If I didn't really hear it, it should have been.
Jeez.
So the numbers don't make sense. Cole nixes the whole dead son argument, right? Like, it's between me and you now. It's not just our son. You know, that you can't move on. You can't move on because it's the dead son. That's not true. It's me and you. I don't know. That was mysterious. The reason to hold on to the ranch doesn't solve anything relationship-wise or emotional-wise.
No, but I can understand, too, that the reason to get rid of it wouldn't solve anything either. I mean, of course, it would get you out of the drug dealing business, and of course, it's what they should do. It makes absolutely no sense at all.
Solves everything.
Keep running. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't solve the fact that their relationship's in tatters over losing their kid, but it does solve their money problems.
Well, their money problems are going to cause the drug thing to get them caught and thrown into jail.
Absolutely.
This show is about the money problems now. It's not about the affair.
Right.
But
right. It's about the interactions because of, you know, the affair, but it's about the money, absolutely. But it's not going to fix them, but it will fix the money and they could quit doing the drugs. And she asks him to stop, which is what Noah was saying to her in her version. Noah was saying, just sell the ranch. If it's not viable, sell
right.
it. And so that's when she then goes to Cole and she's like, sell it, just sell it. And he just won't even.
Yeah, but his argument is stupid.
His argument was stupid to begin with. It was stupid when Cherry brought it up the other, you know, episode. And she was offered $30 million for it. It was stupid then. It's stupid now.
So Martin shows up and he's mistakenly let the mare go, the horse, the new horse go. Now, did he let that horse go on purpose, Michelle?
I think he did. Do you?
Somebody did. It might have been Allison, even. Somehow that horse gets let go. It's
no,
not
I
mistaken.
Think it was him. I don't know why. I don't know what the...
Well, I'll tell you
end.
Why.
Okay.
I mean, I'll tell you how you know. I mean, if you don't... You may know already, but... I thought Allison really despised Martin. I think she doesn't like him because he's getting this fatherly advice from Cole. She's doing the right thing by driving him home and giving him breakfast, but I don't know. I think she's not happy with Martin.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't get that from her at all. I just see a yearning for her own son when she looks at him. I don't see any animosity toward Martin. I'll have to look for that because I'm not getting that at all.
If Allison let the horse go, that would have been a way to disrupt this little fatherly, sonly thing that Martin and Cole had. But I suppose,
but it would have also interrupted. I mean, she's got a lot more on her plate. She's sitting here dealing with all this, you know, drug stuff with Oscar telling this stuff. I can't even see that. I can't
well,
see.
She drives him home, and then she asks him, "Why did you do it?" So I think she knows he let it go. But why did he let the horse go? To get out of there?
No, I don't think so. I think he's troubled. The same reason that he went down there and spent the night, or went down there in the middle of the night, or the early morning. He's troubled over something.
Yeah, he thinks Noah's job as a teacher is lame.
Right.
He's like, self-esteem is really low for some
reason. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, this is the kid who pretend hung himself at the beginning of the series.
Yeah,
so
that's
something's going on with him.
That's not that big a deal, though.
Oh, my gosh. That is a horrible
I'm kidding.
Thing.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
So, Allison takes him home, and, of course, taking him home, she encounters Noah at the front of the big house, the big, they're named Butler House.
Yeah, so, big, beautiful, well-lit, well-groomed home.
Noah's a dick here because Allison offers an extendedly long, well-intentioned, kind of intimate offer to repent her ways and start over. Noah lets her get all the way through it, and then he just says, forget it. This, why would I keep doing this?
Well, yeah. I mean, she says that she's thought about it, and, you know, she wants him. She's sorry. She's sorry for what she did. She doesn't want this life anymore. She wants to start over, and she wants to start over with him. We've already seen Noah and his desperation to make everything okay with Helen because he almost lost everything.
But when somebody starts to make a long, intimate comment like that to you, you start to say, no, hold on a second. I don't think we should be doing this. You don't let her finish it. She went on for a good, like, 30 seconds talking about how she wants to be with him. And I don't know. That was brutal that he let her finish it. And then he just says, I think this is done for me.
Yeah, it was really cold, and I agree with that. And he was like, no, we were leaving next week anyway. Let's just go ahead and say goodbye now. I'd be an idiot to have anything to do with you from now on.
Yep, so that's the end. But it's not really the end, is it, Michelle?
It's not the end.
What do you think's going to happen? There's 1 week left, and what? How many episodes are there, 12 or 10?
There's 10, so there's 4 episodes left. It could go anywhere. I mean, anywhere. We see in upcoming episodes, just from what they showed at the end, things about blackmail, and people are threatening to tell other spouses and stuff. So now that all of the fun is over, they're not even doing it anymore. They're not even presumably meeting anymore or anything. Now it's all even going to come back and bite them, maybe. We'll have to see.
It's going to come back and bite them.
I thought
you said bottom.
Bite them.
There you go.
Okay.
Get you north of that Mason-Dixon line.
It's long trip.
All right, Michelle from Tennessee, thanks for the podcast. Write to us at Michelle from TN or at Scathing Tweets or support at westcoastproject.com. Leave comments on Facebook. Leave comments on iTunes and star us up good and healthy, 5 stars. Or Stitcher. I don't know, Stitcher, can you rate people on Stitcher?
Yeah, you can rate shows, sure.
Have you rated us, Michelle?
That would be cheating.
Have you gotten your friends to?
Of course.
You have not.
If they like it. Yeah, I have. If they like it, of course I tell people. You like it?
Any results, though? You have any? How many stars?
I can't see it. You have to look.
Anyone can look at Stitcher. Why do you think they have ratings if nobody can look and see it?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. I'll have to look. I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Michelle. We'll see you next week after episode 7. And don't forget to tune in for our Jane. We're going to have Jane the Hot Waitress pretty soon.
Yeah, it's going to be what? In a couple weeks? In the next couple weeks?
You'll have to listen in and find out.
Okay. Fun enough. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.